Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. That's slightly ironic, isn't it, that of course we are a body, but in fact we are now, even in our little fellowship, we are apart, because some of us are at home, some of us are here. But of course, globally, we are also all part of the one body in Christ. So we should understand this sense that we are all together. I suppose I've subtitled my sermon today is Many Are Called to Serve as One. And what we are looking at today, as we come to this part of the Epistle to the Romans, is looking at the practical application of God's plan of salvation, its impact on Christian living. How are we learning to use out over last week's, in the earlier chapters of this Epistle, and about God's righteousness and mankind's unrighteousness. And it's being about being put right before God to live in love, harmony, and peace. I wonder whether we really think about what it means to be one body. We take our bodies so much for granted, don't we? Apart from when things go wrong, and I'm sure Nikki won't mind my referring to her knee operation, that you know, she's now got some help in able to use her knee as God had designed it to be. So Paul uses the model of the body in much of his writings, especially 1 Corinthians 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. So we and all Christians are united by a shared call of faith in Jesus. And just as our members of our body, our limbs, our organs operate in different ways, so as members of the church, we operate in different ways. We contribute in the way that God has designed us to be part of the fellowship. And we are united, of course, in those differences. As Paul elsewhere says, if we were all an ear, where would our seeing be? We need the different parts of the body to operate healthfully. And what a wonderful model for ourselves, for our families, for our fellowship, and for our neighbourhoods. How do we see the difference that each of us is amongst our neighbourhood? Do we see this as discriminating one against another, or do we see it as an integration of working together within that fellowship? And there are many things, sadly, in our society that we see in the news day by day that do discriminate in the secular world against one another, whether it's culture, whether it's our family background, whether it's our gender or our sexuality or our ethnicity. There is so much goes on in the world that denigrates this difference when we should rejoice in it, because that is what makes us unique. And so the gathering of that difference brings unity in the community, what we call church, us gathered together. And that's what the word used that Paul uses means. Ecclesia, ecclesia, called out, called apart. And it was used for any religious gathering in those days when Paul was writing. And he adopted it for this new religious gathering of the community of the saints. And church, of course, is the house of God. And over, I think, the last couple of 3 weeks, we've been singing a song by Marty Horgan, which has helped us look at what the house of God is, where the church meets to worship, to learn about love and forgiveness, about prophetic truth, about peace and justice, about healing and teaching. and to help us acknowledge that we are all known and loved by God. And the church, as we read in the gospel this morning, is built by Jesus. And he says, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And there's a little bit of wordplay here in the Greek. The word for Peter is Petros, which means a small piece of rock, something sort of a loose bit of rock. But the word that he uses about building my church on this rock is Petra, and that's a solid rock, a sort of a ledge of rock, something that's substantial. And we're not talking about the foundation of the church being on Peter, it's on his confession. It's Peter's confession of faith that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a revelation to Peter, this simple fisherman, that his declaration of faith would see the foundation of the church of which we are members. And throughout the Bible, throughout the Old Testament, the rock is indeed seen to symbolize the divine, the nature of God. Many places in the Psalms talk about the Lord God is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. And I did wonder whether Jesus was picking up his parable that he had given us about the wise man building his house upon the rock. And there's Jesus being a living proof of that reflection of this parable. So what is it to be church? In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he says, the gifts that God gave were to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. It's not to serve ourselves, but it is to serve one another. And each of us, as a member of the body of Christ, the church, has a place and a purpose. And we've picked that up in our psalm this morning. You may recall, verse 8, the Lord shall make good his purpose for me. So he has a purpose for each one of us for which we can give thanks. Do you know that place, that purpose that God has for you? You may have been a Christian for many, many years, but God's purpose might change over time. And it's really important that we are able and are aware of how he can give us additional gifts, additional skills, because he wants us to perform a different place within the church. And the grace that we're given to fulfill that purpose, as we read in Romans, it is just sufficient. It is measured out as God has assigned. And what's really important as we think about the gifts that God has given us and the callings that he has on each one of us is that we don't compare ourselves with somebody else, because that's not who we are. We are not somebody else. We are who I am. And God has assigned to me that particular gift. He's assigned to you that particular grace to fulfill something that he has highlighted here. And that sufficiency enables us to be the person God wants us to be and to do the things that God has called us to be. He wants us to be active in our membership of the body of Christ. We might be feeling, and especially in these strange days, somewhat apathetic perhaps about, well, where are we going? What are we doing? And isn't this a wonderful time actually to be thinking about God's call, not just on us as individuals, but us as a body, as we do need to be reaching out to our wider neighborhoods and communities, whether it's in the village, whether it's where we live in Whitney or in the surroundings. Are we able to see the active part that God wants us to play? Or do we need to lay before him our sense of apathy, of being unable to unable to contribute? Or indeed, has this time caused us to be a bit antagonistic about what God might be saying to us? Have we no longer heard him speak to us, and we're uncertain of what he's calling us to be and to do? Are we saying, well, if there's something to be done, others can do that? No, it may well be that God is calling us to recognise what that is that needs doing. And we are each responsible for helping each other to find that place and that purpose. At the beginning of the epistle, we read that we are called to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, for that is our spiritual worship. We are to dedicate our lives as to God, as Jesus dedicated his life for each of us through his death and resurrection. And as we come to worship, and as we gather together in our homes to join in worship this morning, we are offering that service to God. And as we continue in that offering of service, we are renewed and transformed by the Holy Spirit, not to be squeezed into the mould of the present age. Are we conforming to what is happening in society around us? Or are we looking to be transformed and transform our small part of society of which we are part? Are we fitting a pattern demanded by the world? Or are we looking to be changed? The word is metamorphosed. You remember that from your school biology, I'm sure, about being changed completely for the age to come. Are we standing up for biblical truth? You read the news every day. You see it on our television screens. How the standards, the biblical standards that we believe in, are being overruled by the secular debate. And it needs us, it needs our church leaders, for whom we need to pray, to stand up and declare the truth of God's word. And it means being willing to be set apart from the world. That's what we are called to be holy saints for God. To think differently, to express what may be seen as unpopular, and I use the word advisedly, bigoted views. Are we prepared to be called a bigot for Christ? And are we prepared to offer a countercultural challenge to the convention of our modern world? As we seek to know God's will, and we pray day by day, don't we, that your will be done on earth as in heaven. So let us pray as we seek to discern his will. We read here, be transformed so you may discern what is the will of God. And as we pray, and as we talk together, and as we read our Bibles, let's pray that we may know what is the will of God, and that we then can pray that what is done is because it's God's will. And there are those ways, through prayer, through reading and studying the Bible, through Christian conversation one with another, where we can discern what is God's will. So as we come to a conclusion and think about the gifts that Paul has put here as examples, the gift of prophecy, of ministry, of encouraging or exhortation, of giving, of leading, of carefulness and compassion, I'm sure that there is something there that we can say, yes, God's laid that on my heart to be able to take hold of the gift he has given, to humbly acknowledge the nature and extent of that gifting. Don't claim to be what you are not, but look to what God has given for you to do. And part of that might be, well, what would you think would be good as we move forward from these strange times? What would be good as a fellowship for us to do? Think of the question, if only we were to do this, that, and the other. Then look in the mirror and see who God may be saying, I want you to use your gift to do this for me and the fellowship. Let us pray. Lord, that you will take what we have heard this morning, that you will work in our lives to show us the grace that you have given to fulfill the gift that you have set in each one of us to serve and worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.